The word today is temptation. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. As long as we are on this earth, we will be subject to temptations. The devil is tricky, but we can learn to resist him from the scriptural record of Christ's temptations. Here from our archives, with a study on this subject, is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Temptation.
Because the devil is still around, all of us have the problem of temptation. Temptation confronts all of us. As a matter of fact, it's probably the most common thing that we all share. There are different ways of being tempted, of course. We can be tempted even by our friends. We can be tempted by situations. I think a good way to take a look at what temptation is all about is to take a look at Matthew, the fourth chapter. As a matter of fact, beginning with verse 1, those first opening 11 verses there in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, tell us quite a bit about temptations because it reveals to us the way in which Satan tempted Jesus. Now, if you take a look at those verses, it shows us that one of the ways in which the devil tempted Jesus was a physical temptation. I would presume, if you're anything like me, that most of your temptations have something to do with your physical body and your physical senses. Isn't it basically true that most of our temptations come from what we see or what we hear, or, for instance, our sense of taste and our sense of touch and so on? I think physically we are surrounded by temptations in a rather constant way because we're living in a sinful world. And so we see the temptations that Satan used against Jesus are illustrated here. Three of them are illustrated. You know, he was tempted out in that wilderness there for 40 days, and my assumption is that he was tempted hundreds of times, I would presume. There are three of them listed here. I don't know whether they could possibly be the first three or the last three or just where they fall in that connection. We're not told. In fact, we're not even told that there were more than three, but that's just an assumption I'm making because he was tempted during all those days, no doubt. But we see that one of the temptations I started to mention is a physical one. Now, he's out there for several days. He's obviously getting hungry from a physical point of view. And the devil comes to him and offers him what seems to be a very logical temptation. Well, if you are the Son of God, if you truly are God, then why should you have to go hungry? Why don't you just say to these stones here, become bread, and all of a sudden you'd have plenty to eat. You would not have to go through any hunger pains or any sort of a problem like that. Why don't you just turn these stones into bread, and then you can eat and be satisfied? We see Jesus recognizing the danger of trying to agree with Satan and yielding to the temptation. And so Jesus quotes scripture back to him. He says, you better be aware that man does not live by bread alone. There is far more to this whole process than just eating bread. And so he rebukes and rebuffs Satan. And of course, Satan isn't going to give up that easily. So he comes again with another temptation. And this time, he again uses something more or less, I would say, psychological, and he even tries to quote scripture. Of course, he misquotes it, he misapplies it, and of course, Jesus senses it immediately, but the trickiness of the devil is revealed here. He takes Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple area, and by the way, if you've ever been to the Holy Land and you know where the Dome of the Rock is, which is on the spot where Mount Moriah was, where the original temple was, on the southeast corner, there is a pretty high drop-off there. Even right now, it goes down into the Kidron Valley. And that's quite a drop-off. If you were to jump, let's say, from there, you would certainly be hurt. There's no question about it, if you lived, because it's a tremendous drop in the number of feet that you would be falling there. Even from the wall that's there now, which is only 450 years old. So I'm not trying to say that that's the temple wall that the devil took Jesus to, but it was in that same general area. And so the devil comes to him and says, I'll tell you what, Jesus, why don't you just jump off of here? Just to show that you are the Son of God. And after all, doesn't God's word say that God will give his angels charge over you and he will watch you and he will prevent you from even stubbing your toe, that you will be perfectly safe? And of course, once again, Jesus sees behind this camouflage and he rebukes Satan again with the word of God and says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Who do you think you're talking to here? You know, and he rebuffs him and once again refuses to yield to the temptation. You know, it's a beautiful illustration on how we should defeat Satan. If you know God's word, and I think it ought to be one of the goals of every child of God to know God's word and to know sections like this that reveal how Christ is defeating Satan with the word of God. It's just excellent to quote scripture and rebuff Satan with God's word. Now, I can almost imagine some of you saying, well, I don't know God's word well enough. I wouldn't know what to say. I'm not trying to say you have to recite a Bible verse in order to reject the temptation of the devil. As a matter of fact, all you have to do is speak the word of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, get out of here. You see, Satan cannot coexist within your heart when Jesus is there. That's the point. If Jesus is the one you call on, Satan must flee. He has to flee. I love the Reformation hymn of Dr. Martin Luther when he talks about the power, a mighty fortress is our God. And when in those verses he points out, you know, the devil is going to be attacking us. And if we try to rebuff him and reject the temptation in our own human nature, by that I mean with our own willpower or our own determination and so on, we're going to fail. Because the devil is not merely another human being that we're doing battle with, and it's not a battle of the wills to see which person is stronger. He is an evil spirit. He is Satan. He is the outcast from heaven angel that rebelled against God. He is Lucifer. And as a result, he has enormous power, enormous beauty to deceive with and so on. And you can't refute him just with your own willpower and your own determination. That's why you need to have Christ and why you need to have the Word of God, because Christ can defeat Satan and has and will repeatedly do so for you also if you call upon him and use God's Word. So that's the point here. Now, the third temptation comes along, and boy, is this one ever subtle. The devil takes Jesus to a high place, perhaps a mountain, and more than logically that would be the case, so that they could see all, this was a phenomenon showing the power of Satan. You could see all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil says to Jesus, now look, Jesus, I know you think you're going to suffer and die in order to save all these people. I'll tell you what, I'll make it easier for you. You see all these people? And the devil now offers to do something, which, of course, he cannot do, and which, of course, he would not do. But he says, I'll tell you what, I'll just lay down the gauntlet, and I'll give you the victory, and I'll give you all these people if you just bow down and worship me, and then you won't have to die. You won't have to die for them. I'll just give them to you. Boy, do you see the subtleness of that? Watch out when the devil begins to tempt you subtly. like saying, well, I know this seems kind of wrong, but after all, it's like stealing, let's say, to get some money because the thing you want to do with the money is feed your family. That, you see, you could, that's the end justifying the means type of logic. You see, the devil loves to use that sort of thing against us and get us confused to make us think, well, maybe that's not too bad of an idea. If Christ had yielded and worship Satan, everything would have been lost. That would have been it. That would have been the destruction of everything. And so thank God he once again rejects Satan and refuses to yield to the temptation. Now, the key in all this is to realize that you need to have a working knowledge of God's word. And I'm not trying to say, you know, you need to have 10 or 15 or 20 verses or something like that. I'm not trying to make this difficult for you. I'm trying to show you the importance of knowing God's word and getting into God's word so that you become more and more mature. And the more you know the word of God, the more you'll be able to reject Satan. And also recognizing that even a word in the name of Christ, get out of here, that'll do it. That'll do it. Luther had a great, wonderful way of refusing to listen to Satan whenever he was tempted. And the devil tempted him a lot, just like all of us. And the stronger the person is for Christ, the more they're going to feel the temptation of God. You know, the devil knows if he can get a strong leader for Christ to fall, there are going to be many others that have been following that leader that will fall too. And on one occasion, when Luther was really being pestered by the devil, he was trying to write, and he took an inkwell and he hurled it at the wall as if to hit the devil with it right in the head. And that ink spot, by the way, is still over there in Germany in that room. So whatever, I don't know if what method you're going to use, but use something sincerely and definitely and use God's word and use the name of Jesus Christ. Because you are going to be tempted as long as you're here on this earth. Be aware of it. Be ready. Be prepared. And have a defense in Christ living in your heart and God's word dwelling in your mind and in your heart. And when you're tempted, get rid of him immediately. Don't yield to it. Get ready immediately, and he will have to flee from you.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.